with another episode, and this one's about high school sex. So Ayush, tell us about your sex life.
I am a virgin.
Anvi?
Virgin too.
Yeah, virgin, me too.
So this has been great. Thank you for listening. Follow us, rate us.
This brings us to the end of yet another
shitty-ass episode. Fuck off, people.
Bye.
No, but for real, we're back with another episode.
Welcome back.
Hey, people. How are you doing?
Hey, people.
You don't need to do that, Anuja. Well, let's get
Kim
to the
Kardashian
topic.
Kim Kardashian accent.
She.
Should I start doing it in like a British accent from the next one?
Why?
Just
that sucks.
Because.
Honestly, that
Anvi,
sucks.
Anvi, you're one of those pro-colonials, are you?
Deshdrohi. Anti-national.
Let's change the subject, please.
Wow, so right. She's dodging the question.
Samajh rahe, sab samajh
rahe. Stop it.
Everybody
do
that.
Stop it. I can do an Australian accent as well. I mean, they're pretty much the same.
That's Texas.
No, that's... Yeah, that's just weird.
Okay.
Yes. How weird you people are. Anyways, I need to take over now because these people are just dumbasses who are ruining.
Thank you for putting us in our places.
Welcome.
Uh-huh.
Right. So like just normal conversation. Have you guys had like a previous crush which affected your life? You know, affected how you perceive love.
Do you realize you're asking teenagers if some crush in their life has affected? Obviously, crushes affect every little thing you do, okay?
Okay,
I
so
mean,
let's talk about that
saints.
Now.
It's in the past now. It
yeah.
affected my life for two
Wait,
years.
Wait, are we talking about like past crushes?
Yeah, I mean like how attraction affected our lives. Or, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Anuja, put it forward. How? What are we talking about?
We're talking about our experiences, past experiences with attraction and also,
right.
of course, society's portrayal of like teen love.
Basically, we're giving you all the deeds of our personal life.
And also society's deeds because society's a bitch.
Yeah, and how we handle those stuff.
Fuck you,
because
society.
We are intellectuals.
Uh-huh. So let's get started with this ultra fun topic.
Right.
Let's go.
This is fine and this is also very uncomfortable because I'm getting like memories.
Because you know, you don't talk about this with your parents. So other things I have talked about. Like I know a lot of kids do not feel comfortable bringing up mental stuff, but I talk about everything. If I'm feeling shitty, I'll tell my parents that, you know, mental shit's up.
Right.
If I'm feeling dissociated, I'ma tell my parents that, you know, dissociation shit's up. But this is not something we talk about at our place, not because of any reason, but just because
it gets awkward, right?
Yeah.
Unsaid rule, nobody talks about it. The only time my father has mentioned like love is like society judges, like, oh, you're talking to that girl or whatever. Is that only time he's like, so you know, you don't become an Indian auntie. I'm like,
okay,
I don't know what you think I'm doing with my life, but you don't have to be worried about me becoming an Indian auntie. yeah. So, that is the reason for the discomfort, Anvi.
Yes.
Right.
Your crush. Stop nodding.
Yeah,
we need the deets.
So we're
You don't need to take the names. You don't need to take the situation.
Yeah, obviously I'm not taking names. This is all in the past.
Listen to me.
So,
first.
Sorry.
Huh, okay.
I was telling some that, you don't need to tell the situation, just how...
It affected me.
Yeah. And how you felt through that.
Well, okay. So, I've had like one... Wait, what do I even call it? Like one serious crush or something?
Okay, one serious
crush. Okay. It's not... Okay, so in my head, it's like one, you have like a serious crush, like this one person, you know, you're like, this is like ultimate...
This is
crush.
It. My
and
love.
And then you have like, you know, random attraction you feel towards people.
Or like, oh, this... celebrity is hot.
Like, yeah, something like that. So, like, one serious crush I had was, it's been long. It's been, like, 2-3 years. So, long story short, it was one-sided, obviously, because your bitch can't make a move.
Your girl.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I don't know. I just never... Okay. So I mean, I never really talked to the person, mainly because, you know, I was like, what's the point of this? There's nothing going to, because you're always, you know, insecure about yourself, and you're like, the person probably does not like me back, which is, you know, most cases that happens. So, I mean, that happened. I don't know how that affected. I mean, that did affect my life. It's just...
affected your life? Okay, in like a negative way or like a positive? Obviously negative in some...
Well, in the... Okay, so... obviously, you know, when I gave up the hope that nothing's happening, I was just like, Anvi, it's good. Just forget it. Forget it. And so, like, at first, it was like, you know how you go through like 5 stages of grief? Like, first you're like in denial, and then you're all like angry and cranky. And then, like, eventually you accept it. That's what happened. So, like, it wasn't anything major, okay? So it was just, like, you know, at first I was, like, Anvi, like, is it just you being mad? What, like, what is happening? Then slowly I was, like, oh, like, you know, you feel that little jealousy at times, you know, seeing the other person with someone else. And then eventually you accept it, which is what kind of happened in my case, which was good. Like, totally... over this person now, don't care, like, life is happier.
Yeah, so Anvi is doing great. Anvi has made it through.
Yup,
she's...
I have survived my first teenage crush.
What doesn't kill you
makes you stronger, stand a little taller, doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone.
Okay, that's it.
I swear, it's like every episode we
need to sing.
We need to sing.
It's just songs.
Music
so relatable.
Is the way through you need to get
teenage
through.
The musical.
Teenage the musical.
Yes. Right. So should I continue? Right. Yeah. So for me, I had the same, like, very intense one that this kid is it. This is my bread and butter. This is the shit I'ma eat up for the rest of my life. This is the dal chawal, as Ranbir Kapoor put it.
In YGHD. Hmm.
Okay. You do not know the reference. You're not...
Got it. YGHD.
Okay. Yes. So, I was like, this kid is it. And I thought that the kid liked me back. So, he might have at a point.
Same. I felt that too, but then, you know, you never know.
You never know. And when I first... started liking the kid, I have said that in the last episode, I was pretty confident, but then call it hormones, rave parties within me, like just drugs in my system being like, let's fuck her up. So shit happened from like hormones or like whatever, and I started slowly having underconfidence, and by the time I stopped having any feelings, which was only a couple of years back, I was severely underconfident. So, started with like, there was a possibility that, oh, maybe he likes me, maybe he doesn't, but I'm too young, I'm only 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went on to being like, shit, he definitely doesn't like me, I need to get over this crap real fast.
Huh.
And then I dude, I know I need to be a bad bitch. So, and then I did it. I'm a bad bitch now.
Great. So Anuja moved from being insecure to becoming a bad bitch.
No, I'm still insecure.
At least you're a bad bitch too.
At least I'm a bad bitch, man.
You being a bad bitch compensates your insecurity.
So my case was when I was 13. Okay. And obviously it has now affected. So like now thinking, like, you know, looking back on it, I can like analyze myself. It's like, Anvi, like, I can analyze why I acted in certain times the way I did, and, you know, just how my brain functions with this emotion. Right. So I have a lot more control over my feelings and actions and thoughts now.
Yes, same.
Which is great, I
not
think.
My words as such, but my actions and my feelings a lot.
No, I am still awkward, okay? Like, I'm still awkward. That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
I still can't, you know, just like be super confident.
You blubber. Don't you? Same.
Uh-huh. So
there's that.
I was going to say something, man. Oh yeah, so and then well, later on, let's just say the guy turned out to be a jerk, okay?
Oh, seriously?
So it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, that's what I heard from people.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. Once again, I never talked to the guy. So
okay.
It's just... Like, I was merely attracted to the person based on the image that other people created for the person and the one I created for myself as a way to, you know, like, keep my feelings secure.
Okay.
Like, I think often people do that, like, when they don't know the person that
when they don't reciprocate, they're like, this kid's, like, this person's bad. Or like, this person...
No, they create... People create an image of the person because I think it's a psychological fact that, you know, the person you're attracted to, you see them as perfect. You don't see any flaws. And then later on, like, when, you know, you start losing interest in them a bit, then you start seeing the reality and then you know, are actually in your right... like your right state of mind to actually judge, you know, like, what's wrong and what's right. And, I mean... To be very honest, now that I know, like, you know, just, like, a little bit about, like, what the guy is like, we probably would not have made it work even if we tried something. So, that is over. Do not, like, not sad about it. Life is great.
You know, this
learn
example,
from your mistakes, people. Over to Ayush.
This story of yours, like, a real-life example of, you know, those Instagram posts that come up once in a while. That in love, you usually ignore the red flags and you focus only on the green flags. Even the red flags seem to you as green flags. And, you know, the person is, like, completely perfect. And you just want that person. But after a point, you're like, damn, why? What did I see?
Why did I even like the
I need to get my eyes checked, man.
Need to get the heart checked.
Right. So, the two of you have, like, a similar thing where you have, like, a crush and then that didn't work out.
And it was an intense one that lasted for a slightly longer period. For me, it was, like, almost 2 years. Oh, okay.
Right. So, I mean, I have, like, the start is similar, though it progressed in different ways. I had this crush on a person in, like, 5th, 6th grade. And the stuff was good. We were great friends. We used to hang out sometimes and it was good. But over time, when you start realizing that, you start having the thoughts that okay, that something might work out between us. And maybe I want to date her or him and that I need to be with this person. So you try to make an impression. You try to get that person's attention. You try not hurting that person by your words or by your actions. That led me to portray myself in a way that was probably fake, that was fake. And then I fucked up over there. And, like, I honestly acted like a complete jerk, where before that, as far as I know, and later on when we sat and we, like, cleared it out, the other person also had a thing for me. And it might have worked out, but...
Had you been forthright and more understanding?
I would not have acted like a jerk.
I mean, you were like 10, 11.
Right.
So it's acceptable. Huh. I mean, it's acceptable at mostly any age, as long as you're not a jerk or like a complete asshole. It's acceptable at any age if you're not able to express yourself properly, I'd say. As long as you realize the mistake and, you know, you're ready to work it out, talk it out, that sort of thing. Totally done.
Right.
Apology accepted.
But until you realize it's already too late. Wow.
Okay.
Everyone's just so serious and like spaced out.
By the time you realize it's already too late, you're talking about like the end of the world. That's the point of like the teenage crap. It's not. It's obviously not. Everything is so temporary.
Exactly.
You're like, everything you're doing is temporary. Your hobbies, your friends, your stupid attractions, everything.
Everything is going to change with time.
Most of it's going to be left behind. Some of it you're going to stop caring for yourself. Other people are going to stop caring for you. It's everything is going to go away. It's going away.
And now, you know, there's this podcast or like all this sessions or stuff we speak that gets you to realize that this actually doesn't matter and how the world works. And like before that or in general, I've been living in my closed cell where I perceive the world to function in a way, and I believe that if this is how it functions, then I must do XYZ stuff to be on top or be ahead of others. And like over time I realized, no, that's not how this world works. the world just works. You can't there's no particular way for it to work.
Like there's no order to it. You can't you can't predict.
So the best thing, like, just being raw. Well, coming back to the story, I mean, I had to say something. So after that thing, I, you know, that feeling of insecurity where you feel you're not lovable or nobody wants to be with you, you're not worth anything. And in my case, it happened that another person entered my life, and that person made me feel really special, really important. A natural human tendency, I grew very much attached to that person. And after that, I mean, it was like a complete heartbreak when that person left your life because of whatsoever reasons.
So see, that's yours have been like actual cases of heartbreak. Mine was just, I grew apart, and maybe I have, out of all the crappy shit that has come out of the lockdown, for me, one of the very limited positive things that have come out of the lockdown has been the fact that I've just stopped caring at some point and it went away. I didn't do anything. I didn't actively think ki it's a, it go away, go away, go away. I used to do that. It didn't go away. But then at one point, maybe the distance has made just, it made the feelings go away. So maybe the people who say that keep distance could be right. But for me, I've always said, I've never done. Do as I say, not as I do. So I've always said that if you like somebody and if you don't really know them as a person, always talk to them. Because once you talk to them, there's going to be two outcomes. One would be that you realize that, oh, this kid's actually really nice and I would like to pursue this, meaning you would like them even more than you did. And the second outcome would be you realize that they're a douchebag, and then you would, like, the feelings would go away.
Yes.
Almost like organically on their own.
Yes.
You're like, this is a shitty person.
Having a conversation is very important because, as I've said before, your mind creates a very perfect image of the person once you've not talked to them. Because once you start talking to them, you start getting to know them. You have solid facts to back up that image now. So these facts, which, you know, the person tells you during your conversation, can now either, you know, elevate the image you have in your mind or totally tear it down. And that will give you the free space to, you know, actually think, ki, is this worth pursuing or not?
Exactly.
You're hit with reality.
Yes, because, I mean, I think something similar that happened to Anuja happened to me was distance just, you know,
made it go away.
Yeah, it made it go away because it made me look outside the little image I had in my mind. It made me explore more. It made me talk to other people and realize, oh, this is maybe not what
I
wanted.
And made other shit come up. When you go, when the distance created, you stop actively thinking about that person as much. So that makes you focus on other shit. For me, it was not positive to focus on other shit because the other shit, as I say, I was doing was also not very good. Like, you know, insta-scrolling, just wasting my time away, wasting my life away. But at the very least, I was able to stop actively thinking about some random person that I did not even know that well. But I just liked because of hormones and human tendency. So that's on personal experiences. Has been very serious. Now we'll move on to something fun. Something fun is Bollywood.
Bollywood, man, don't talk about it. Bollywood screwed up my whatever love life I've had until now. Because, I mean, I grew up watching Bollywood movies and stuff.
Everyone grew up watching Bollywood movies.
Let me finish. Once I finish,
no, baby, you're being narcissistic. I can't let you finish.
And Bollywood romantic movies, they showed me that a certain kind of image gets you love, gets you relationships, gets you girls. And I acted like a jerk. I mean, not a jerk. I was a stupid ass creature where I tried to be the perfect, the ideal guy.
Bollywood guy.
Ideal Bollywood guy, the hero. And I would assume that, okay, now I am the perfect person. I'm acting like this person. I've got all the attitude. I'm not giving attention to anyone. Now people will come to me and
Etc.
And instead of that happening, what happened was I just became a loner over 3 years of my life. And now I have no one to talk to. So people, do not take Bollywood love life seriously.
Yes.
Don't take Bollywood love advice.
Also, not just Bollywood, so like overall, whatever the media is feeding you, more than half of it is not true. Like all this, you know, sweet and mushy things that they show you, none of that shit happens in real life.
No, because you yourself will find that cringy. If somebody actually came and did that, you'd be like,
it is
oh
cringy,
my god, fucking
man.
Weirdo.
Yes.
Right.
And also, there's this one thing that happened recently that I read in the news that some Indian guy in Australia was pressed with charges of stalking.
Hmm.
And his justification to stalking was that this is how love is represented in my culture, in my media.
Hmm.
So this is what I thought it meant. This was me showing love. And they accepted it on the basis that Bollywood mein they do stalking. You know, na?
Right.
There's very clear-cut cases of like stalking. Ki na, if the ladki says no, she's just asking you to stalk her.
She's just begging for attention.
She's just asking for harassment. And once you do the harassment, she falls in love with you. So that is obviously not how it works. And that case was like horrifying. I was like, shit, that actually happened. And the Australian court did it. Maybe they were trying not to be racist. I don't know.
Huh.
That is, if you're trying not to be racist, don't do that.
Hmm.
You don't be misogynistic at the price of not being racist. Yes. Good sentence.
That's sick.
It is sick. That's why I brought it up. And also, tere naina, tere naina. So that's, I like Mushi's shit. I like watching Mushi shit.
You know, like the Instagram reels, which very often nowadays, that there's like ideal love happening and like people meeting and all the good stuff.
On reels.
Yeah, reels, shorts. It's like I see it pretty commonly, even though I like seriously hate that kind of stuff. And I mean, that's so cringe. And now I say that, I do accept I have been cringe myself, but I've been cringe in a different way. But I've been cringe in a different way. I haven't done the typical cringe, like stalking people over Instagram.
That is not cringy. That is a felony. State level felon you would be if you stalked somebody, okay?
Okay. That's it.
Being cringy is fine. Don't stalk people though.
Yeah.
Being cringy is like being, okay, like if you're mushy and that's your thing, some people are actually, you know, generally that kind. And some people appreciate that. Great for you, man.
Yes.
If it's working out, great.
Hmm.
That is fine. That is an acceptable thing that nobody, you don't care about us assholes. You do you, my friend. But but you know, some people, like, he just interpreted cringy as, like, he interpreted stalking as cringy. No. It's a felony. It is not cringy. Let's make that clear. Stalking, harassment, people don't realize, but verbal harassment is the most common form of harassment.
People don't even, like, you know, figure out when they're being verbally harassed.
And also, like, you know, like, Eve teasing and crap and, like, you know, just shouting on street. People are like, giving compliments. No, baby, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're being offensive. You're harassing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that is also something that Bollywood promotes. And I have delved into that area so much that I can't stop letting my angst out over here. I'm like, main bolungi.
No, please
go ahead.
That's it.
Just Bollywood is, you know, sugar-coated a lot of... they're just trying to, you know, make casual sexism and casual Eve teasing into
not to
like
mention
this
casual homophobia all the time.
Like, they're trying to show that, like, oh, it's romantic and stuff. It is
not.
Like, there's so many movies. I mean, I don't want to take names, but they're like movies.
Bali.
Yeah, I mean, there's movies where, you know, the guy asks the girl out. The girl says no, you know, and like, girl gives an explanation. Then again, the guy shows up at her place.
With a rose, with a bouquet, and chocolates.
And then in the end, at the end of the movie, he ends up getting the girl, which is just absolute bullcrap.
Because this kid, this guy has zero personality, no friends, is a gunda, but his heart is good. देखो
प्लीज
दैट इज बॉलीवुड लॉजिक 101 फॉर यू.
Bollywood logic is the guy does 100 crimes, does 100 shitty things, and then in the end he says a simple I love you to the girl, or says like 2 or 3 cheesy lines to the girl, and suddenly the girl's head over heels over the guy. That's not how it works, my friend, okay?
Yeah, it doesn't.
I mean, it's just sad.
That is like the cringy masala Bollywood that we talked about, and the downright illegal side of Bollywood that we talked
yes.
about. But of course, like any other industry, there's always going to be great movies. There's
going to
be movies that are
movies.
Unrealistic but are still great watches. Doesn't mean you implement them in real life. But, you
yes.
know, fun to watch. So we don't want to like be one of those Debbie Downers just like shitting on everything because it's not realistic. We're not those type of people. Dude, I just said that my favorite movie was Tarzan the Wonder Car. So we are definitely not the kind of people who are going to go around being like, shitting on your happy little pride parade.
Yeah.
Being like, no, if it's unrealistic, it's shitty. No.
Sometimes unrealistic things
are
good.
Fun. They're
yeah.
fun.
They're fun.
So, like, I like rom-coms.
They make you feel good. Oh, talking of rom-coms, okay, so I wanted to, you know, bring up this point of not just Bollywood, the entire just like world, like global media, they show you love in a very perfect and rosy way, like without any problems, very easy. It makes you have unrealistic standards as well.
Right.
Like, I have had people, you know, like, just tell me, ki, oh, we're looking for this, 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 and they have this entire list. I'm like, you're not going to get all of that. You have to compromise. You have to look
people.
Beyond that. You need to understand the person on a personal basis. You can't just like have a list. Like, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a list. Like, it's okay if you want certain qualities in a partner.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying that do not, you know, expect the person to fall under all of those categories. Or someone genuine who may not have all those qualities, but, you know, is a nice person, is nice to you, and, you know, will like be nice with you. You can't just, you know, outright reject them because you have these unrealistic standards.
Right.
Continuing
your point. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was, what Anvi said, there's this really famous person. I don't want to name him. It might get controversial. Though that person said a line that if you look for a qualities in a person, it's not love, it's a transaction where you get something, you get the qualities that you wish, and the other person looks for the qualities that he wishes or she wishes or whatever, and like it's more of a transaction than love, and transactions don't usually end up well on the emotional level.
Yes,
that's right. So continuing Anvi's point, yeah, right. So, unrealistic standards. So, this whole, like, buzz about soulmates. Now, like, soulmates. First of all, I don't believe in souls. Maybe my soulmate died. I don't know. Maybe I don't have a soul. It's a real song.
Yeah, okay.
So, soulmates. People believe that there is just one person that's right for you. Whereas I, on the other hand, am a staunch believer that love is something that needs to be built rather than just something that you already have.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
You
yeah,
need to like
yes.
spend time with the person,
yes.
be with the person,
yes.
talk with the person, sing cringy karaoke with the person,
yes,
to be able to love the
shit
person.
Together.
Right.
Like these assholes.
Like, there are so many songs about this that I'll find my perfect soulmate. And
wait,
I mean,
but
I've
like,
seen
do you guys believe in soulmates?
No.
Not exactly.
You don't?
No, like, I believe that there are, like, certain people that you hit it off better with
yes.
than other people. But out of, like, 8 billion people, you can basically fall in love with anybody.
This is, okay, this is what I feel about soulmates. Soulmates, for me, is not just about the romantic angle.
Ah,
soulmates can be in general as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can have thousands of soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about the right timing, the right...
Uh-huh.
Like, you being in the right state of mind.
You're contradicting yourself, see.
What?
You're saying that if soulmates are based purely on circumstance and, you know, they're based on, like, wait, their personality, of course, it's based...
Meeting soulmates is solely based on circumstances.
And so, see, circumstances also affect your judgment.
Hmm.
Which means that if a random person comes along with, like, a very basic, generic personality, not somebody who's, like, completely your kind of person, but because of circumstance you and that person fall into a rhythm. You guys talk and you do crap together and you spend enough time together to be able to be in love with each other.
Right.
That's not soulmates. That's just like you building love.
Like what she meant by soulmate, like of what I interpreted it as, that when there are circumstances, you vibe with someone, so that person's like,
yeah,
just special.
So like,
in life.
Soulmate is basically somebody you vibe with and
yeah.
plus circumstance,
yes.
plus your own actions.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
I will take that as a definition for soulmates. I was just talking about the typical
mm-hmm.
definition,
right,
not
right,
your
right.
own. Yours I am agreeing with.
Right.
Like the typical one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole, all this conversation tells me of this thing. The, you know, there's this Instagram post, I doubt you would have seen it, where, you know, there's this line, I don't have a best friend, I just have a lot of close friends who vibe with different points of my life and they're all equally special to me.
Hmm.
That's exactly what we're talking,
mm-hmm.
summed up in a line, I guess.
Yes.
Right.
Right. So, lots of serious talk today,
yeah.
lots of insight, lots of personal details. Hope you liked this one, motherfuckers. So, that brings us
also
to the
let
end.
Us know if you liked us talking about like
serious
soulmates
talk.
And love
yeah.
and stuff. Because we have a lot of opinions on love and a lot to share about just love in general.
Yeah.
So, if you want, we can do like a part two or something or like continue on with this in future episodes. Like, let
yeah.
us know.
We can do one where we like talk about being actually in love or something. This was just our perception of love and soulmates and shit.
Okay. Nice.
Nice.
We're taking in opinions.
Hmm.
And that brings us to the end of yet another
shitty ass episode.
Don't take my line away.
Okay.
Okay. Peace out, loser.